Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Playing in the Dark. I'm your host, Keith Cerny, and my guest today is the wonderful and amazing and talented Miguel Long. Say what's up.
Hello. Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. So me and Miguel, we're both members of the same theater company, Trapdoor Theater, here in Chicago, Illinois. And the reason I got you on here, like most of my guests so far, well, all of my guests here have been women. One identified as sexually open, one identified as queer, the other two identified as heterosexual women. And I wanted to talk about, like, talk to black people from different sexual orientations, different genders, about how do they frame their sexuality outside of how the white gays have framed black sexuality. And you identify as a gay man, correct?
Mm-hmm. I'm a cis gay man.
Okay. And I guess what also spurred me was I remember I was having a conversation with somebody I was in a show with, and he was also a cisgender gay black man, and he was telling me about sometimes he feels like he's afraid that he's going to be like alone, and you know, I guess everybody has that fear, you know what I mean, of, you know, dating and stuff. I was kind of struck by that, and maybe it was my naivete, maybe it was my ignorance. I was kind of like, well, it's like, ain't this like the best time to be gay? Like, get all the apps and. You know, obviously I'm not ignorant. I know there are a lot of people that still have to, you know, stay in the closet because of their environment and stuff. But I kind of thought, like, you know, it's all these like different apps. This would be like the best time to be gay and be dating and meeting people. And I heard that from another cisgendered gay black man. So I was kind of like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, where is the disconnect? Like, what am I not seeing? So I guess my first question would be, have you had the same fears that you might be alone as you get older? Or
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a fear, me being older than Jesus now, 34. I mean, I'm not like scared to be alone, but I do frequently feel lonely. I mean, I think we all do. Anybody who is a single person feels lonely. I was just thinking about like relationships in general, like especially like growing up, I didn't really picture myself like getting married and like having a family, like getting a house, because once I figured out like what gay was, I was like, oh, that's very different than what heterosexual relationships are going to be. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything by like not having a family already or things like that. But I mean, I definitely feel lonely, and if nobody wants to come and be with me, I'll have fun all by myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a fear of being alone. I would love to hopefully find a loving relationship that will take me till the end of my days, but if that doesn't come, I'm not holding out, or I'm not living for that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's weird how, like, so much of our society is structured on, like, well, you got to be with someone. That's going to be your life partner.
It's like a heteronormative, like, laid out, this is how your life should be. You go to high school, then you go to college, and then you meet, like, your sweetheart, and then you get married, and then you have kids, and then you, like, buy a house, and you, like, do this, and then you retire. And it's like, half of those things do not even apply to our generation, let alone a sexuality, like.
But then there's this weird thing of, like, you want to push back against it. But there are some days where I'm like, well, damn, I don't want to be, like, 47 and single, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be with, you know, somebody, because it kind of be like, well, once you get older, you're not about to, you know, it's when the world gets back to normal, you ain't about to be hitting the clubs or the bar. So it's like, am I gonna be like 50 on a dating app? Like, is this the future of how people couple? But my next question is, how is your, have you been on those, the dating apps like Grindr and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, I've definitely had those apps before. Right now, I only have one I find little to no success on. It's called Scruff. It's, like, for, like, hairy dudes. Mm-hmm. Or that's supposedly, like, what it's for. But, yeah, I don't really love those apps. I don't love, like, introducing myself all over again to people all the time. And I feel like it's so much easier in person. Like, I just really don't know. Yeah. It's really hard to date on apps, like. I only went on one date last year. Not by choice.
Not by choice.
I tried. But yeah, I think it's really hard. Like, it's harder than, I think, especially for straight people, you know. I always had a silly dream of, like, meeting a person in school, like, who was in the same class as me, or, like, even on the freaking elevator at the grocery store, or, like, in a show that I'm in or something, and that has never happened. But, you know, people make it seem so easy. But I feel like that's because that's what we're, like, made to believe in, like, movies and stuff. but I don't know.
Yeah, I do feel like that was, I guess, because we're both, you're 2 years older than me, but that was the world when we grew up where it was like, oh, that's where you're going to meet people, in school, your friend group, in some random...
Being social, like, it's going to be something that you, like, run into.
And now I'm just kind of like, where are women at? Like, I don't know that anymore. Like, are they, like, you can't, like, can you talk to them in the grocery store? Like...
I know, can you approach anybody even anymore? Which makes it really hard. I mean... Honestly, the more this goes on, it's like, I ain't gonna meet somebody new. One of my friends would have fallen in love with me.
Oh, man. Like, I tried, like, Tinder. It was all right. It wasn't really my thing, though. I just wasn't really as... But the difference was, I will say, was because I thought... Because I talked about this on the last podcast, was I've had sexual experience with men. And when this was happening, this was like when Craigslist, when you can like find sex on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And I thought Tinder was kind of going to, because I heard of Grindr. I'd never been on Grindr. So I thought Tinder was going to be just like kind of like a mix of like Craigslist where people were just going to be like raw and just be like, I want this. And you know what I mean? Very explicit sexually. And that struck me as the difference. And I think that was one of the reasons I enjoyed sex with men was how like, not the speed of it, but just how like quick it can happen. Like it literally was just, I remember putting posts like, you know, looking for someone, you know, to suck my black dick. And then within like 10 minutes you'll have like replies. And it was just like, this can't happen in the heterosexual world.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there are women who are like that, and praise all the women who want to be sexually free and like say what they want and things like that. But I mean, that's not being gay the best. No. No, I mean, I feel you on that. And I definitely feel like Grindr is the top of, like, that sort of category of, like, wanting to hook up and saying what you want. It's like, I only want this and, you know, certain things. Yeah. And then I would say there's, like, a scale, like... Tinder somewhere in the middle of like being a little more serious about like dating, but you can still like swing those other things. And then like I would say like match.com is like the exact opposite. Like you're here for a date, you know, you want to like be nice, present your best version, like all that stuff. So I feel like it's on a scale, but Grindr definitely is the bukkake version of
that. Now your experience is on, because I've heard from some gay black men like, it's because I know there's like this whole thing in like the gay world, it was like no fats, no femmes. Then there's like a lot of like racism on some of these dating apps. Like, I don't know, black guys and stuff like that. Have you had experiences like that?
If I did, it wasn't directly. Like, I've never had someone like come at me on one of those apps. I probably have been ignored many times for like being mixed race or brown or whatever, but it's not to my knowledge. So I mean, I know it exists because you see it on people's profiles. You know, they'll say certain things. That's where that comes from. When you see no femmes, no Asians, no things like that, it's like, that's not made up. Like those profiles really exist. And then you see people who like have Instagram accounts or whatever where they share the chats that they have with people, and people will say things like that to people. So I haven't had that like directly. There are some instances where people will, what's the word I'm looking for, when you're like, God, I guess I can say whatever. When somebody is like, oh yeah, I want to fuck this like black pussy. They like make race a part of it. And so it's like, oh yeah, like I want that big black dick ears. It's like, whoa. It feels, so there are like instances of that, but not, I haven't had any like direct racism.
Okay.
But it exists. Like, absolutely.
That's the, you know, because I've most of my sexual partners have been outside my race, have been white women. And I like race play and sex, but that's a tricky subject. I think you have to approach with your partner and let them know, like, what's happening. I think you can't just spring that on people. That's the problem. Like, people have their images and also what people feel comfortable saying, right? Because some people may say, okay, I'm cool with saying, you know, I like your big black dick, but I don't want any more, like, other kind of language or anything like that. Some people may be like, I don't want to deal with nothing of it. Right. Yeah.
You know, you set some guidelines and things like that.
I think some people just be coming raw with it. Just, like, first up, just say whatever they want to say.
Have you seen or heard of the play Slave Play?
I've heard of it. I heard the controversy and stuff. Isn't it about like couples? They some kind of therapy session where they play like.
Yeah. I mean, so like how it's presented is so interesting because like there's on the windows outside there's like pictures of plantation. It looks like a plantation you're going in, and I feel like a lot of people, specifically white people, will go and see that show. Well, when it was open, I saw it in October. We'll go and see it and be like, oh, I'm going to see a slave play. Like, it's going to be good. And, you know, I'm going to support the arts and I'm going to, like, see this thing. And you get in there and how it starts, it seems very period. People in, like, period clothes, you know. And you see these three different relationships. And you come to find out that it's a therapy session and that it's not slave play. It's slave play. Slave play.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting that you say that because they were using that in a sexual way. There was a master and there was a slave in each of the couples, and all the couples were multiracial. There was there was two straight couples, one black woman and a white man, a black man and a white woman, and then there was a gay couple with a black man and a white man. And in fact, in the gay couple's relationship, the black man was the slave owner because the white guy was like the lowest of the white people. Like, okay, he was included in the slaves, and he just happened to be like the head slave, like runner, you know what I mean? And so that was interesting to see that like that way, but it was just so interesting to think about slave play.
Yeah.
Sexually.
Like, I don't know if I can get it. That's a little bit too. I'm not trying to take it back to 1832.
But it was a very interesting play. So good. Highly recommended. There's a really good podcast with the playwright where he talks about it. And it's just like really interesting. You know, brought it up. And it's in society now. Like people are also thinking about it. And so.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like. With attraction, I mean, like, you can be, of course, attracted to people's qualities, but there are physical things, right? And it's like, why is it weird if a non-black person, another black person, like, oh, I love the beauty of your skin, you know what I mean? Like, why does that freak some people out? Like, are you trying to fetishize me or...
That's what it is, fetishizing.
Yeah. And that's... I do think you have to communicate with your partner and about what you like about it, what turns you on about it. You know, some people are just not into it. They don't want to be fetishized. I like it, but it's in like it's almost like for me, it's like women that enjoy like rape fantasies where it's like they're in control. So it's like I'm in control. It's never like something is being placed upon me and I have no agency. You know what I mean? It's like I'm deciding like what's going to happen and what we're going to say. That's what I like about it for me. Yeah. So I guess my next question is like, when did you know you were gay? What was your first like sexual? You were aware of sex, whether that was from TV or real life, like.
I've really tried to think about this.
Yeah.
Just in general, people thinking about like their first time they jerked off or something. Yeah. I cannot remember like what it was, but I remember being like, what's going on with my dick? Like, I was like, why is it hard now?
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting. And I don't think that I knew or like cared like what caused it. All I knew was I was like, oh, well, something's happening here. And if I'm touching it, that feels good. So I remember just like going to the bathroom and like seeing what's up, like what would happen.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. I can't recall. The only thing that has a clear memory is I remember my mom rented Dust Till Dawn on VHS. Mm-hmm. And it's the scene with Selma Hayek. And like, when she had to sneak and she put her foot in Quentin's mouth, I just remember being like 8, 9 years old being like, I want her foot in my mouth. Like, I didn't know why, but like, I remember too, the first time I masturbated was like, right before I was about to come, it was such a weird feel. I thought I had to piss. So I like stopped because I was like, oh, it feels like piss is about to come out. And then I remember the next time, like, I think my mom was working in, my grandma and aunt were like shopping. I like put all this like newspaper on the ground. So I was like, well, just in case I piss, like, it just get on the, like, the paper and it won't get everywhere. And after I was done, I was kind of like, I didn't really see in that much on the paper, but like a little bit. Then I kind of like saw it like dripping down my penis and I was kind of like, I was like looking at it, kind of like tasting it. I was kind of like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Damn. What were the first, you remember some of the first like gay images you ever saw on TV or film or in real life?
Hmm. I mean, so I used to like watch a lot of TV with my mom, and like thinking back on it, I remember I think there was like a gay character like on Melrose Place or something. I believe like one of the doctors was gay or something, but I feel like all characters in the 90s and things like that that were gay like definitely had AIDS or like, had something traumatic happening to them. The things that really stick out to me are when there was a gay kiss on Dawson's Creek, and I did not watch Dawson's Creek for like the first two seasons, or maybe even three seasons. It just like I was like, oh, it's on, it's there, you know. I heard about it, obviously it was like a big thing, and then in season three they added a character, Jack, who was gay, and I was like, wait, wait, wait. He's gay? I was like, I'm gay. And so there was a kiss on primetime television that was the two, there was two gay characters, and I remember seeing that and be like, oh my god, it's on TV. I was like, look at this. And then the other thing is like Will and Grace, you know, obviously Will and Grace had, what, regardless of its like whites only kind of craziness, it was gay people on TV, and I was like, oh, like, this is so funny, feel totally seen by these people, like, I get these jokes. And it was actually like came out to my mom during an episode of Will and Grace, because she was like talking about, she just like asked me, and I was like, you know what, yes, and I'm also trying to watch this show.
Leave me alone. Oh man, that's weird. Like, it's so funny to think only less than 30 years ago how it was like, oh, it's gonna be a gay kiss on television. Like, I remember the episode, I used to watch the Ellen Show, and I remember the big deal was like, she's coming out, and it was like all everywhere. And I remember like Real World, the second season, they had I think he had AIDS in that character, and it was like a lot of the gay presentation, it was Adrian, either
Pablo.
They were either like white, it was white men, or it was like a character had to have AIDS, so it was kind of like the sad kind of thing, you know. Or, but not, I remember like this is too, when the whole down low phenomenon started, like, about people that don't know, down low is like a term for, it's mainly used towards black men who have sex with other men on the down low. Down low as a term just meant you were just cheating on your significant other.
Or you're doing like in secret, like gay, but you're doing it on the down low. Like,
But there was like this, I forgot who wrote the book, but it was like this, I think it was this black man that wrote it, and it became like a phenomenon in all the like, like, mostly, like, black women read most of, like, the books that come out and stuff for black people. So, like, every black woman was talking about it. Like, oh, I had a man like that, and he was on a down low. And I remember, like, the woman who wrote How Stella Got a Groove Back. The man she met in Jamaica, he was gay. He turned out to be gay. And that was, like, a whole... I remember, like, Ricky Lake did an episode about it. And I just was always, like, how much... I don't know how much, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Just how much it was seen as like a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, being, especially being black and gay, like, image wise, it seemed like, oh, this is like a white man kind of thing, like gay. And you didn't really see black gay men in a positive light. They were like extra feminine, and it was meant to be a joke, right? Of how feminine they were. Or it was like brothers, you know, secretly on the low. And my mom didn't really discuss that kind of stuff with me. And I didn't grow up with no kind of like hatred or really a homophobia, but it was this kind of like, that's, you got to stay away from, right? It's not like a masculine thing, you know what I'm saying? And what really kind of expanded my mind, I think, was going to theater school, was going to Columbia, you know, theaters full of, you know, a lot of gay men and stuff, and like hearing stories and listening, and like I didn't know the experiences of gay men, how, you know what I mean, how sometimes it can be very traumatic, you know, with their parents, or just even some of just having fun and their joys and how they live. And I was kind of like, even, you know, hanging out with people like you, of just like, it expands your mind so much more. Like, before, I wasn't like, no gay, but it was like, I didn't know gay dudes, you know what I'm saying? It was just a world that like, I was not privy to, and maybe I didn't really want to be privy to. But as I've gotten older, like, it's like, listening has been a big part of like getting to know people and like, you know, hear their stories. So when did you know you were gay? Like, what was the... Was it, like, just, like, boys is, like, in school and stuff?
I remember one of my earliest memories, like, of all time. I remember I was, like, maybe 4 or 5. And I like, have a vivid memory of, like, being in the living room. And the TV was on and it was showing music videos. And the Mariah Carey Someday music video came on. And I was like, oh my god, what is this? And I knew, you know, I knew there that I was like, I wanted to like be her in the video. There was like dances around her, she would like turn into the guy, and I was like, ooh, I was like, I want to be her in the video. Do you know what I mean? Not knowing what gay was then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, growing up, being gay, obviously, you know, you get made fun of. I went to public school, so I actually went to 5 different grammar schools because we moved a lot, but just all over the North Side.
Yeah.
And, you know, be gay, be called gay all the time. And I'm like, I'm not gay. Like, I'm not gay. Like, this and this. And it was just, like, thrown at me at such an insult that I was like, well, that's
Were they saying that, like, you were, like, hanging out with a lot of the girls? Or what would they, to make
of
them say
course.
That?
Yeah. But also, I was gay. I was, I was never not myself. I was never, like, pretending to date girls. I never, like, pretended to be in the closet. Mm-hmm. I just was always me. But, so I was like, I'm not gay. And then one day, I was like, it was probably before these shows, before like Will and Grace and, you know, all these things like that. And I found out that gay just meant that you liked guys or boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, I am gay. I was like, I do like boys.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, that's not insulting me. And it's like, I was like, fine, like, call me gay. Like, I am gay, like, whatever. Yeah. But, I just sort of kept it to myself. Like, I didn't outwardly say it, but I wasn't saying no. Like, my friends asked me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gay. And then my cousin asked me, and I was like, yep. And I told my aunt. And my mom asked me, I think, maybe 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And after the second time, I was like, no. And then I was like, and then after that, I was like, oh, think I am gay. And then I was like, well, if she asks me again, I'll tell her. And she happened to ask me during an episode of Will and Grace, and I was like, well, I'm gonna tell her now.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I had, like, magazines were out, you know, like, not Teen Bop, but, you know, those kinds of magazines.
Yeah.
And I would, like, cut out pictures, and they were on the back of my door and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah.
How did you, now your father's, he's a really cool dude and I met him, but your father was a cop.
Mm.
So how did he take it? Was he accepting? Was it kind of a little kind of like,
I mean, if you were to ask anybody in my family or who grew up with me if they knew I was gay when I was little, they would tell you yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it comes at a thing where it's like you kind of already know without being told. I mean, I would go to my cousin's house and we would play Barbies for hours when I was little. So it's just like he wasn't surprised, but I told him and he was like, okay. He's like, I kind of already knew, and I was like, yeah, this is in high school, I think it came out like sophomore year, and he gave me a condom, he was like, here's a condom, and I was like, okay, famously unlovable in high school, not having sex for, I want to say, maybe like 10 years after that, okay, and so he gave me a condom, and then he was like, well, he was dropping me off,
because
I was like hanging out with him at his house, and he dropped me off, and he, like, drove to my place. He's like, all right. He's like, I love you. He's like, I'm always going to love you. Gave me a hug, and he's like, I'm going to go to the bar now and, like, drink a lot. And I was like, okay. And, I mean, I think I can't tell you if this is how he felt, but I feel like I came to, like, realize that, I mean, even I think this sometimes, that I have 4 younger sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I share 2 sisters with my mom and 2 sisters with my dad. None of my siblings share the same 2 parents.
Mm.
But regardless, I'm the only boy, and I sort of feel like my whole, like, lineage ends
with
me. Sort of feel guilty about it.
Yeah. Well, you can always adopt kids.
I just mean, you know, you look at someone, it's like, oh, I see your grandmother in your face.
Yeah.
It's like, things like that aren't going to directly pass unless, you know, you do some science and stuff. But I was talking to another friend of mine that was like, I wouldn't mind having children sometime in my life. I don't see myself doing it alone.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. It's just like, honestly, the options could change so many years from now. We could do anything, you know?
Maybe. Yeah.
So, I don't know, but...
Yeah, I think about kids sometimes. Like, I never had, like, fantasies of, like, being married with kids. But my biggest fear was, like, definitely growing up in a neighborhood where you see so many, like, unwed people with kids and, like, all that baby mama, baby daddy drama.
Mm.
Was, like, that was the one thing I didn't want.
Mm.
And for me, it was more, like, the being unwed didn't bother me. It was, like, the lack of respect that those two don't have for each other. Even in the term baby mom, baby daddy, like, you see so many men that don't have respect for the mothers of the children, so many women that don't have respect for the men, and it's like all this antagonism and all this yelling and you ain't give me child support and you can't see your kid and all this stuff. And I was like, I never want to go through that. Even if, you know, if I get a woman pregnant and we stop being in love, we break up, I always want to have like a connection with my kid. I never want her like that kind of like where I'm not seeing my kid, but also I want to like respect the woman I got pregnant. You know, even if the love is dead and it's like I can't deal with her as a partner anymore, I just want that level of respect. I don't feel like dealing with all this, like, it's just so damaging and so traumatic for the child, and that goes into another cycle of it. It's just all of it. It's just like a hot mess. But damn, what was my next? I had a question. Oh yeah, why was the gap for between sex from high school 10 years? Like,
I mean, in high school there wasn't, in my high school, I don't, there was like a gay straight alliance club that I didn't love staying after school for stuff because there was like already detention and already other shit that I was doing. And it was like, you know, the whole day, you stay there the whole day, and the club was like after school hours. And so I went like once or twice to get like a shirt and to like be in the yearbook photo. But I mean, I would say that there was definitely more like lesbians at my school. I went to Schurz.
Okay, yeah.
Addison in Milwaukee, 4 years. Famously violent and crazy school. And it was before I got there, and it was after. But I would say my 4 years there, it was pretty tame. You know, there, I mean, there's like gang activity, but it didn't, there wasn't any violence or shootings while I was there. It definitely happened before and after. But there was, I would say, a lot more lesbians. And then there was like a handful of gay guys that I could be like, oh, I know that that person is gay, but we're not friends or not attracted to that person. And it wasn't until after high school that I, like, I went to the gay pride parade probably my senior year. And it wasn't until then, like the next year or even the year after that, that I saw people and guys from high school that I was like, those guys are gay. I was like, rude. I was like, we could have like been friends this whole time or something. But I don't know. There just wasn't, you know, I mean, people dated in high school, but not me. There was nobody, you know, it just didn't happen for me. Like,
I think about that. I remember I seen this movie. I think it's called The Skeleton Twins. It's with, I can't think. Both of them used to be on SNL.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're really funny. But the movie is not funny. But I remember Anna suggested to me, a mutual friend of ours, and the male character, he's gay. And then he was in high school. He was having an affair with one of the teachers.
Lucky. And, I definitely was into one of my teachers.
Well, we were like, me and Anna were kind of talking about, I guess, the efficacy of it, the morality of it. And I was kind of saying, you know, look, like, for me, definitely I don't think it's right for, like, adults to be having sex with underage people. No. But I can kind of understand, like, I don't know how it is to be a kid today. But when we were in high school, it's like, who are you going to be gay with, right? It's like you're gay and you're seeing all your friends have these experiences, right? Like, their first date, their first kiss, sex, whatever, all of these, like, coupling things. And it's like, who can you be out with? Like, who can you walk? So I can understand that. And definitely you have older men that take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I can understand wanting that as like a gay teenage boy, of wanting someone to relate to and someone to be intimate with. So I can, you know, I'm not saying that's correct in what other you're the adult situation.
You're just saying if there's a man there and you're like, oh my God, like you kind of want to jump on an opportunity if it comes because there isn't that many.
Yeah.
So I could see, I understand what you're saying about an opportunity arising regardless of that, but I also don't condone that. I think that's but also thinking of like watching shows like Euphoria or like even like Gossip Girl, which is like obviously silly, but you know, people kids drinking in high school and like daytime parties in high school and stuff. I probably was not cool enough. I had some wine coolers on my 18th birthday, but I didn't drink till I was 21. I had my first kiss when I was 18.
Oh wow!
There was a man with a tongue ring. Me and my best friend at the time were out at a party, and we were outside. Like I think a band played or something. We came outside. Like people were having a smoke break, and we were just like chilling. It was hot in there, and so we're outside, and we were talking about something, and I was like, "Yeah," and I've never been kissed. And this man comes up behind me, and he goes, "Wait." He was like, you've never been kissed before? And I was like, no. He grabs me, like, sort of turns me, and not like grabs me like, get over here, but like he like wraps his arms around me and he dips me, okay? Full dip. Like, what? My arm is like, my arms are like hanging behind me.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's like kissing me, and then he dips me and he sticks his tongue in my mouth. And I, all I remember is my hand, my arm just laying there and being like, oh my God. In a good way. And yeah. I was like, wow. And then he like stands me up and I was like, thank you. And he goes, there you go. He's like, now you can't say you've never been kissed. And I was like, wow. Thank you.
That's a great story. That's a great
beautiful
story.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
I famously didn't lose my virginity until I was 23.
How come? Was it your own personal? You just waiting?
Or? Absolutely not. In no way, shape, or form was that me waiting.
Yeah.
I just didn't, it just didn't happen.
See, I find it surprising because, I mean, you know, you have like a nice build about you, like a nice, very like thick
now,
kind of.
Now I'm getting hotter every day.
Yeah.
But I would say when I was 23, I mean, I would say even after that, I had probably reached a peak of like 279.
Mm.
And not that that matters. I mean, yeah. Obviously, all people get love all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, there's still hope for me then. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I always used to think, I came to the thing, I was like, I am an acquired taste, and somebody is going to want
But you have such a great, like, personality. Like, that's the thing about, to people that don't know Miguel, it's, like, impossible not to love Miguel. I remember we met on the show called Monsieur Dayan is a Woman.
Yes.
And I just remember, like, I like that guy. Like, I don't know, I just was like, I like that guy. I don't think I'm not, like, you're sounding, like, unlikable. So I'm kind of, like, I wouldn't understand that length of time. I mean, yeah.
I go out. I'm super social.
Yeah.
I'll go out all the time. Go, you know, go see shows. I'll talk to strangers, make friends. That's what I mean about, like, wanting to meet somebody, like, hanging out. You never know. So it's like, why waste an opportunity, you know, to, like, not reach out and make new friends and stuff. But it just didn't happen for me.
How do you date within your, and your mom is Puerto Rican, correct? Does she identify as Afro-Puerto Rican or just...
No, my mom's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican, and your dad is American Black.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you identify as Puerto Rican, Black, or mixed, or...
I mean, I definitely would identify as mixed race.
Okay, yeah.
It's like... I think ethnicity... There is... You can't be... Your ethnicity is not Hispanic.
Yeah.
Your ethnicity is, like, all these things, so I always pick African-American ethnicity. And then when asked to your race... Black is not part of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So Hispanic is, so I pick Hispanic.
Yeah.
Like, I fill out both things. I'm like, I'm all of these things. I'm going to put all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave one out.
Yeah.
But there's, excuse me, there are many times where I don't feel Black enough or Hispanic enough or gay enough for a lot of things. So, you know what I mean? You're not Black enough to do these things, or, you know, you're not quite made comfortable in that sense. I don't speak Spanish, and there are lots of Spanish people. Even recently, like this past fall, I would say, even somebody was like, well, you don't speak Spanish, and your name is Miguel, and blah, blah, blah. And like, well, do you listen to Spanish music? And then I'm like, what? I was like, don't come at me. I was like, that's so rude. So, I mean,
There's a couple of things I want to add. Well, one to the, like, not speakers, but it was interesting because as being a Black American, right, there's always this sense of, like, you wish you had more connection to, like, your, like, history or your heritage outside of being a Black American. Obviously, most people don't even know about Black history, but let alone people want to, you know, you wish you had that sense of, like, I come from Nigeria, or I'm part of the Ashanti tribe, or I'm Wolof, or something like that. And as a kid, I used to be jealous. I used to see, like, you know, Mexicans or Puerto Ricans. I'm like, damn, I wish I, like, had a language. Like, I'll be speaking that shit all the time. Because was it did your mom make a choice not to teach you Spanish, or was it just she didn't really speak it in the house, or?
My grandmother speaks Spanish.
Okay.
And my mom understands and speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Not in the house or like frequently or anything, but she did. I remember her asking me when I was little, maybe once or twice, but I definitely remember, like, she asked me when she's like, do you want to learn Spanish? And I offhandedly, as a child, was like, no. I remember being like super young.
Yeah.
She's like, do you want to learn Spanish? And I was like, no. I was like, I'm playing with Power Rangers right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And she never taught me.
Yeah.
And it was just because I said no. And she's like, well, you said no. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I took Spanish in high school, my first year of Spanish, which is, like, so rude. Because I was really trying to, I was like, okay, this is in school. Like, I can learn it or at least get the basics down, right? And we got probably, I want to say, 2.5 months into the school year. And we had this teacher, we got through the alphabet. And I was like, okay, great. You know, I was learning some stuff. And then the kids are just really fucking bad at shows, you know? People don't, especially like a new teacher. It was a young dude and people were not respecting him. And he left. He quit.
Damn, man.
And we got a substitute teacher who was a man who only spoke Spanish, but he wasn't there to teach the class. He was there to fill in for that teacher because they didn't have one. And he gave us worksheets for the rest of the year.
Damn.
And I didn't learn anything from that.
Yeah.
And so I just copied. And then I tried to change languages. And they're like, you can't, you have to take number two.
Yeah.
And so Spanish two, I had nothing learned from Spanish one, and I had to like copy and get through Spanish two. And so I just didn't learn it.
Yeah.
So I tried to do it that way. And Duolingo's cute. I just am like,
I had Duolingo for like for a minute when the like pandemic first started. Then I got off of it. I don't know what happened, but I made it to like a decent level. I think I may go back to it though. It was hard to like. It was like doing it was fun, but I feel like I didn't like really retain like.
Yeah, all of it. It's like a game. You like memorize the things you need to.
Yeah,
but you're not like learning it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I feel too like a lot of times we never think about how you know the first generation of like you know immigrants. You know, that come to this country is like they speak either broken English or very little English, and they have their home language, and then they have children. It's like, I want to maintain our heritage and culture, so I'm gonna teach them the language, but I also they're American now, right? So they have to learn the language of the country. So it's like your mom English and Spanish, and then with you, it's like mom was like, yeah, you know, it's like it's the 90s, like yeah. You want to learn it or not, like you know what I mean, like yeah. But what was my original question? Oh yeah, do you date out mainly outside your race or with you know Latin men, Black men?
I mean. This is basically just going off of like who's interested in me. If I had a choice, I guess I would choose a lot of different things. But I mean, I'm into all kinds of guys. It just depends on who's into me, you know?
Yeah.
It truly depends. And things change and feelings change and about different people. And I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know?
Yeah, I feel you with that. Like,
my only preference is that he is nice.
Yeah,
that's it. Well.
Just nice. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, it just truly depends.
What is, I guess, to be the last question before we go. What does Black sexual liberation look like to you?
I don't know if I ever thought about that. I would say Black sexual liberation looks like the WAP video.
I saw that video.
I've
watched
four or five times since it came out.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not sure. I feel like that's a big question. It comes in a lot of shapes and forms, and I would say some of the most recent examples of that would be like Lizzo, you know?
Yeah.
But I really don't know. We're in such a crazy world at this moment to be sexually liberated and not be liberated in other ways is just kind of crazy. So
yeah, you know what's interesting is like I feel like our generation, I guess the generation under us, like people are more able to identify what they are sexually and who they have sex with, but like we're having the least amount of sex compared to baby boomers in Generation X. And I find that fascinating. It's like, it's this weird dichotomy, right? Like, people are way more open to be like, I'm sexually open, I'm pansexual, blah, blah, blah. But, like, people are having less sex. And it's like, where is that, like, disconnect coming from? So it's like, people know how they identify, but nobody getting laid. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But I like Lizzo as an example, too. I really enjoy her. You put me on to her, too. Like, I like her music. But I also like because she's... I know she's a big woman, but like she's confident in she's herself, you know what I mean? Like she knows she's beautiful, which is always makes somebody attractive when they know they're beautiful, you know what I'm saying?
If you feel good, then you look good,
yeah.
And she like shines like a star, and like you know, and obviously Beyonce can't leave out Beyonce and Rihanna. It's like those are the people who shape how it's like I mention those people because you can ask what sexual liberation looks like to a single person, but it's the people who are doing it that. That allow other people to see it. So you know what I mean, it only the liberation is only as strong as people believe it is in mainstream society. You know what I mean, it could everything could be underground strong for as long as end of time. But so I mentioned those people by coming on doing those examples that allows other people to like see those things, you know.
I find it, what was I thinking, like I have this theory that, like, the last maybe 20 years of pop culture has been dominated and ran by, you know, like, black film culture. You know, black gay men, black queer men,
yeah,
just black women. And I juxtapose that to, like, I think in the, like, 70s all the way through the 90s, a lot of what, you know, cool is blackness. Like, cool is just a synonym for blackness. But it was so, like, heteromasculine, whether it was, like, Jim Brown or the blaxploitation film in the 70s, whether it was like hip hop in the 80s and 90s, like that was the image of like cool and what blackness was. And now I look at the past 20 years and when you say Beyonce and Rihanna and Lizzo, and it's like, or Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, like that's not only what's cool, but even like the slang and how you identify and having confidence in yourself has like seeped like through all of the culture. Some in a negative way, I mean people co-opting that. Like sometimes I get uncomfortable where I see like white gay men like trying to sound like, you know, like black women or something like that. Something that makes me uncomfortable. But just overall, just kind of how like it's like culturally at least, you know, black women and like and black, you know, queer people are kind of like dominating the culture and like what we see as cool and stuff.
And there's like I would say a small shift in like a smidgen of time of RuPaul's Drag Race coming in, and not only RuPaul but like bringing out queens like Shea Coulee, mm-hmm. and you see is a sexy man and a sexy woman. It's just like, oh, so you know, you can't leave out the drag queens, can't leave out RuPaul in that sense of making like drag mainstream and inherently, you know, bringing out black sexuality, because you wouldn't have drag queens, you know, without black people.
That's
Paris is Burning comes back every
year. That's my favorite documentary. That's my favorite documentary.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my god. So I just saw it. I saw it like a few years ago. Netflix had it for like Black History Month. And I had heard about it, so I was like, well, let me watch it. And I was like, this is my favorite documentary. And then I watched it like four times within that week. It's so fascinating. It was a world that like I had no idea existed, but it's also like the director, you know, she let these, like, you know, black women, like, tell their stories and how, you know, how they see themselves. But then also it's, like, all this, like, because it's the 80s, too, right? So it's, like, all this kind of, like, glam and fabulous, like, Dallas and Dynasty and stuff. And some of the older trans women we're talking about in drag women, we're talking about how, like, in the balls in the 70s and the 60s, it was kind of, like, being creative and how you want to dress up. And now everybody wants to be, like, a TV character. And it was just all, like, a huge, fascinating world. But I would tell a story about how I found out RuPaul was a man. Like, so when I was coming up, you know, RuPaul had the song, you know, what was it, Cover Girl, You Better Work. I thought it was a woman. And it was, LL Cool J had this TV show called In the House. And RuPaul was on it. And RuPaul played, it was like, when he's a man, he's like LL's old football friend or some shit like that. And like, you know, he finds out that like, yeah, I do drag and stuff. So I remember watching the show, and I was telling mom, like, hold up, I'm confused. Like, these two different people? She was like, no, RuPaul a man. I was like, what? Like, I just remember just, like, looking at, like, at his, like, bald head and how tall he was. I was like, it couldn't even, I was just like, my head had exploded. Because, like, in my mind, I was like, no, that's, like, two different people. She was like, no, that's a man. He like a drag queen. I was kind of like, that shit blew my mind. I always remember that. That just, like, blew my mind. Like, for, like, all the way up to I was, like, maybe nine, I guess, when I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, RuPaul a woman. Like, I never knew anything different. Yeah. It's just, like, a real... I don't know why I tell that story. But, thanks for being on the show, Miguel.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is great.
Do you got any socials you want to promote? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
My Instagram is Mickey Smalls 225. Slide into my DMs. I've never said that before, but here we are.
Oh man. This is everybody know my Twitter handle is @KillerShogun88. My Instagram handle is @KeithCerny. Follow this podcast, Playing in the Dark. That's the Instagram name is like capital P, capital I, capital T, capital D, because Playing in the Dark was taken by somebody else. But this is another episode of Playing in the Dark. Thank you.